Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. You are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. You know, I usually have some rant or another before we move into our topic. And I don't have a rant today because I've decided that it is better to just share what you think, what you feel with those you trust without having great big rants. Having said that, I do want to make note I do want to make note of the fact that there are many things I can do nothing about. And so I don't invest my energy in that. I can't do anything about politics, except vote, of course, which is very important, or climate change or anything else. I can do my little part in my little speck of the world, but for the things that are not in my control, what can I do? I can pray, treat, meditate, whatever fits, and that's what I do. So I have all this extra energy to invest in things I can do something about or I want to do. Don't you think that's wisdom? I do. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you my dear friend, my co-host, my mentor, my just, I love you, John. John Warren, how are you today?
Well, I'm good. I love you too, Ellen. You just did a little mini class in Stoicism and the Serenity Prayer. I love it. It's all the Serenity Prayer. Yeah, no, there's the big, I think the big knot to untie in my life is like, wait a minute, I'm upset about something I don't have any control over. Yeah, no, that's a great little chunk of wisdom to start our show with. I'm good. Life is good. I just took a shower, so I'm good, and I'm clean, too, so it's good.
Ooh, la la, Johnny. That's great. It's good to be good and clean. Yes. Okay, so, John, today our topic is be sure to love yourself. Oh, please. I mean, we hear so many things that we need to do to be evolved, huh? Like, you should love yourself. Well, I like myself. I think I'm okay. I can't say I love myself. I don't get that. I like myself. I'm nice to myself. But do I love myself? I don't know. Sure, from a spiritual higher self perspective, like agape love that I have for everyone from spirit, but you have to love yourself because if you don't, you know, nobody's going to love you. You know, if you don't, you're never going to attract the right person, the right job, the right circumstances. You have to love yourself. I think that's a load of baloney. I don't think that's true. Yes, respect yourself, treat yourself well, be kind to yourself, be honest with yourself, but love yourself? I don't know. I was thinking about this, John, and it falls to me under a category that annoys the bejabbers out of me. You have to love yourself. Okay, really? Well, you know, grief is a thing, and you go through the stages of grief, and you're probably going to go from A to B and back to A and all over the place for a while, and then you move on. What? You mean I have to get over it, snap out of it? No, I don't, and no, I won't, so new. Yes, grief is a process. And grief can be a very difficult set of emotions to navigate and get through. And I was thinking about this earlier. My father's been dead for 35 years. And I grieve him. I miss him. Now, am I on the floor crying? You know, no. I could if I really thought about it, but no. But do I miss him? Sure. Did I get over it? No. Am I living my life? Does my loss of him interfere with my life? No, not at this point, 35 years later. But jeepers, I have more loved ones on the other side than I have here because I'm almost 74. And so, yeah, people pass away and parents leave and siblings leave and all that. They go to the next experience. And I am delighted that my loved ones are on the other side having a wonderful time over there. But it doesn't mean I get over it. I don't miss them. I don't think about them. Hogwash. Of course I do. Is it the kind of grief where you can't function? No, of course not. But do I grieve the loss of my loved ones? Well, yeah. also don't tell me to snap out of it. I think those are cruel words. Oh, get over it. It's been X amount of time. You should be over it. Breakups. Well, he dumped me. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. Or you dumped him or her or whatever it is. I'm sorry. That's a painful thing to go through, even when you want it to be done. It's a painful thing. It is a loss. And so, okay, he broke up with you 2 years ago and you're not over him. Well, get over it. Move on. Huh? What does that even mean, move on? Well, moving on means, yes, you're open to other possibilities. You're affirming that the right person for you will come in, is coming in, and so it is and all of that. But it doesn't mean that magically you go, moved on, not thinking about her, not thinking about him, moved on. No, I think these are edicts that are very damaging because, God, if I'm not over him yet, John, is something wrong with me? No, it means you're still processing. Am I open to possibility? Well, sure, you get to a point where you are, but that point can be in a week or it can be in a year or whatever. Everybody processes their stuff in one way or another and in one time or another. Some people, God forbid, their spouse passes away and you see them 6 months later and they're happy as a clam with somebody else. How insulting. She must not have loved me or I must not have loved him or whatever it is. No, somebody else came in that you felt connected with, and that's very healing. Relationships heal. So, yeah, you moved on in the sense of you found a new partner, but somewhere tucked away in the corner of your heart is your ex or your deceased loved one, right? You don't have to get over it. You don't have to love yourself. Oh, please, these things you can tell irritate the bejabbers out of me because I think it's a pressure. I have to be this. I have to be that. I have to be at this point in my recovery. I have to be thinking this and feeling that. Wait, you cannot legislate emotion. You simply can't. Now, if you're having real trouble, if you're grieving a loss of a loved one or a breakup or whatever, and you're not making any progress at all, then, yeah, seek help if you need it. Talk to somebody you trust. Of course. I'm not denying that there aren't people who can get into a rut that they can't get out of and they need a helping hand. Okay, yes, that happens. But I think to pressure anybody and say, you must feel this way by now, or you're getting over it, right? Or you're snapping out of it, right? Depression is another one. Well, get over it. Pick yourself up, move on, and just count your blessings. And, you know, you'll see unicorns jumping over rainbows. Get out of my face. Depression is a real thing. People get depressed. And, of course, if you need help, treatment, for crying out loud, get it. Use the tools that are out there to help yourself move forward through depression. But you're depressed, snap out of it? No, it is a process, and sometimes it does need therapy and medication. Sometimes it needs talking to me or John. Sometimes it means just some quiet space. The point is that everybody is different in how they process their emotions, and to put pressure on people, love yourself, or get over it, or snap out of it, or what's wrong with you? You know, why are you still upset about this? Ugh, bite me. Intense emotions can take time to process out, can take time to deal with, can take time to kind of tease apart, okay, where am I now? And how am I feeling now? And what am I thinking now? And what about that is helpful? And what about that is still kind of those sharp razor edges? And how can I best deal with it? But to put a time frame on it, I just disagree with that. And I talk to a lot of people every day, and I know I should be over this, but, okay, wait, stop right there. Who says you should be over this now? Well, you know, my brother thinks I should be over it. Oh, okay. Or your mother or your best friend or whatever. You should be over it by now. Oh, okay, well, you can't legislate emotion. And you talk to the person and you realize they're actually doing pretty well, whatever their issue is. Anger is another one. I get so angry. Okay, you're allowed to be angry. Yeah, but anger is bad. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so now anger, it has a pejorative. Okay, no. No, you're angry. It is not how you feel. You feel how you feel. We all have feelings, the ones that are easy to deal with and the ones that aren't. But to say you shouldn't feel how you feel is another one of those edicts that makes me nuts because it's so cruel. You feel how you feel. Now, what you do with how you feel, that's a whole nother discussion. But that you feel that way, embrace it, own it. Yeah, this is how I feel. Okay, you're allowed. Feelings aren't right or wrong. They're not good or bad. They're just feelings, and most of them are transient. Some of them move out more quickly than others, but the fact is they're transient. And we all know this. If we've been on the planet any length of time, when my father passed, to go back to that example, when he kicked the bucket and died, I was devastated. I was just, oh, wipe up the floor with me, would you please? I was a mess. But I couldn't show it because I had a very young son. I had a husband. I couldn't be on the floor in a puddle. And so I stuffed it. And I stuffed it. And, oh, maybe 3-4 months after he died, I'll never forget this. I was washing my face, and I took the towel to dry my face. I'm looking in the mirror, and I lost it. I began to sob and sob and sob. I'm like, okay, Hartwell, what is wrong with you? And I realized all that pent-up grief was coming out, and I just let it happen. I just let it happen. I let myself cry. I'm allowed to feel sad that my father died. And so, yes, in time, those edges are far less sharp. And no, I don't break into tears, and you're not going to find me in the fetal position on the floor. But do I miss him? Sure. Am I pathologically grieving? And by pathologically grieving, I mean I'm stuck. I can't do my life. If that were true, I need to get help. I need to talk to John or somebody to help myself navigate the stuck place. But I'm allowed to have my feelings. And since I'm allowed to have my feelings, guess what? You're allowed to have your feelings. Don't judge your feelings. They are feelings. What you do with them, yes. Be careful. What comes out of your mouth, yes. Think before you speak. Think before you act. But don't try to deny your feelings because they're real, they're yours, they're within your body. And if you deal with them, it'll be easier and easier to deal with those same old feelings that come up. Joe Schmo, who dumped me 20 years ago, you know, that son of a gun, how dare he do that? That really hurt my feelings. Am I over it? Sure. I don't care anymore. I've had love since then, and I don't care anymore. But at the time, it was devastating. I'm sure you've been through something similar. And it takes time, and it often takes meeting somebody else you feel connected with. And when we lose a loved one, when somebody passes, I hate loses a loved one. They're not lost. But when, excuse me, when someone we love dies, we're sad, and we're allowed to be. We're allowed to be. And if we let that feeling of sadness be there, own it, look it right in the eye and say, yeah, I'm sad. Of course I am. Okay, you're allowed. That means you won't get stuck in grief. If you're angry, I am so angry right now, and express it. You don't have to express it at anybody. Get in the shower, get in the car, and vent it, because that is much healthier than keeping it all inside. Let it out. You're allowed to feel angry. You're not allowed to hurt people with that anger. You're not allowed to disrespect people with that anger. But you have the anger or the sadness or the joy, you know. People sometimes laugh at me because I'll be vacuuming my house and be bopping around and singing a happy dance. Sometimes I'm singing Amazing Grace, whatever it is. Okay, Hartwell, you're crazy. No, I have joy. I'm expressing it. If you don't like what you're looking at, don't look. But I'm allowed to be happy and sad and mad and glad and everywhere in between as long as I'm careful who I point it at. And I don't point it at myself either. Be nice to yourself. Be honest with yourself, but be nice to yourself. If you flubbed up, you know, I say, oh, Hartwell, I can't believe that. You really flubbed that up. Yes, you did. Okay. Can I do better next time? Yeah, I'm sure I can. I'll have to think about it, but yeah, I'm sure I can handle that better next time. Okay, good for you. Move on. But when we say, oh, you must love yourself, or you can't, or nobody can love you. If you don't love you, nobody else is going to love you. Give me a break, would you please? I like myself. I think I'm a pretty decent person. I'm a work in progress, yes, and I make all kinds of mistakes, and sometimes I stick my foot down my throat badly, or I flub up or whatever. That's okay. I'm a work in progress, but I like myself. I'm okay. Yeah, I think you're okay, too, but you must love yourself, or you must not feel this way, or you must feel that way, or you must this or that if you're feeling this or that, or thinking that, or thinking this or that is a bunch of bull-oney. And I've gone over my time. You are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I'm your host, Ellen Hartwell. If you'd like to reach me or John Morin, go to our website, ellenhartwell.com. We would love, love, love to hear from you, and we'd love to have anything you would like to say about our shows or even suggestions for other shows, so you can reach us at ellenhartwell.com. Next week's show is Need. Need. Okay, John, I'm going to go mute. Let her rip, tater chip.
Oh, my gosh. Next week's show is, well, you know I'm going to have stuff to say about that. That's one of my trigger words, need.
I know, need. Okay, I'm
need.
Going mute.
Yeah, bye. This is weird. This went in a direction I didn't expect it to. I am surprised that I understood where we were headed. At the very last minute, as Ellen was talking, I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I know what she's talking about. Is the edict to not be present. When I did yoga, I've been in California my whole life, essentially, almost my whole life. And so, yeah, you know I did yoga. You know I had a yoga season. It's almost required if you're in California. But the instructors would all say, I did it every day for a few years. It was great. I should do it again, frankly. But it's a great thing to do. The instructors would often say, don't forget to breathe. And like, I would always think, when have I ever done that? Like, I think the only time was right as I came out of my mother, and somebody had to slap me to make me breathe. Other than that, I've never forgotten to breathe. Even when I'm sleeping, I'm remembering to breathe. I know what she meant, though, or he, whoever the instructor was. What they're really saying is, and I think this is where people, like, why we have to study metaphysics instead of just, like, use it as a bumper sticker. And this is one of the reasons why, is what those teachers mean when they say don't forget to breathe is don't forget to be conscious of your breath. And there's a lot of, like, you know, take care of yourself, be sure to love yourself. There's a lot of sloganeering around metaphysics. And it's not because people are lazy, although some people are certainly lazy. I can be lazy. Because we have all two things in common. No matter who you are, you have two things in common. You are dependent on a certain basic factors like air and, you know, the moment you go, if I shot straight up right now 2 miles, which isn't that far, it's further for me to go to the market where I live. I couldn't breathe. Like we're all sort of stuck in this little envelope that is actually quite small that keeps us alive. And we all have the same amount of time. That's really 24 hours in a day. Like, you don't get any more day than I get. The richest man in the world doesn't get any more day than the poorest man in the world gets. There is a limited time, and we do care about each other. You don't want to be rude. So things can get boiled down to, be sure to love yourself. Like, and I tell her, like, don't forget to breathe. Like, okay, I've never forgot to breathe. My other one is, like, I'm using these essential oils, so they're really helping me. And I always think, you know, I've never used those oils, and I'm 60, so I'm not sure they're essential. I always think, are they essential, though? And that's what I feel about, you know, be sure to love yourself. That sort of dismissiveness. It's like, well, it's shorthand for, and I believe that it is shorthand for this. I don't have time to unpack everything that needs to happen. You need to study and be present for your own life in a long enough way that you understand that life is essentially a practice, and that take care of yourself to the best of your ability while you go through this period of grief or loss or, you know, recovery from trauma or whatever it is. And that you will get to the other side of. Not only do all of us have the same days, 24 hours in a day, that's how long it takes the earth to swirl, so to speak, to swirl. And we all, but that also means that we all go through processes, like period, or most people do. I'm not a psychologist. I am sure that there are variations of human experience that don't, like sociopaths may never feel grief or loss. They just sort of go, oh, that person died. Okay, I'm not feeling anything. I'm not connected to it. And to be present for being allowed to where you are. And, you know, there's been a big pushback against feelings in the last, you know, your feelings are not, you know, F your feelings, you see in the political realm often. And it's this misguided and actually kind of dishonest take on that people are driven by their feelings. And actually, in my perception, what's happening is people are becoming more aware of their own processes and taking care of themselves. Because I actually think it's much more helpful to say to someone who is in pain and wants to stop a feeling, simply to remind them, like, don't stop the feeling. The worst thing you can do is to stop the feeling, in my opinion. This is true. I said this to someone recently. Yesterday I had a client. Do not, you know, like, oh, no, when you're there and you're feeling the person you were 2 years ago who missed this person, it was inappropriate and you know, it was a bad relationship and it's good now, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't feel things about him and that she isn't lonely. I said, pay attention to what's going on. I struggle with food. When I want to order a pizza, usually, you know, and for myself, by the way, it is because I'm having an emotional reaction. I'm stressed. I'm tense. I made a list for the day that was too long. Pay attention to your feelings. And the second thing that I think is helpful, and I do believe this has been helpful to me and it's helpful to other people, is it's not that you can or cannot or should not have a feeling. It's that we forget that feelings have a beginning and a middle and an end. They're like a sitcom or a movie or a story or this radio show or my shower before I came on this radio. It had a beginning, it had a middle, and it had an end. And that is what feelings do too. And remember, even just remembering that can make you go, oh, no, it's not that you shouldn't feel. Be aware that you are feeling it. Practice the awareness of it. And that actually is a form of loving yourself, in my opinion. But the idea, it's also a phraseology. I will say there are things that we often say to each other, and the nice version is that we don't necessarily have time to sit down with everyone we encounter and say, now look, your mommy and your daddy dropped you on your head 50 years ago, and you're still processing this trauma, and I need you to, you know, sit through it, and it's okay that you're having these feelings, and yada, 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 and do what you need to do, and all this other stuff. We have to say, oh, well, just take care of yourself. Like, make sure it's okay. And that is a way of saying, it's like, you're allowed to have your feelings. And I want to make this point, too, about the study of metaphysics. Because we say point blank, like, your reality, and I'm not saying we're good at this. I'm saying this is what's happening, is based upon your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and really the propulsion that you put behind them, which is often your feelings. So when someone is feeling anger, that can be shorthanded and they're practicing metaphysics into, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this. They're like, oh, yeah, you should. Yeah, you shouldn't also be avoiding it, because if you're avoiding it, that's actually not allowing the river to flow, and it will back up. It will back up. And the same thing's true of love. We would never say that about loving, like agape love. We'd never say that about, oh, you shouldn't love. And it's true. You should not stop love. You may not express it everywhere all the time. But if I say to you as a metaphysician, there's love flowing through you all the time, no one's saying, oh, no, stopping it.
Don't stop that.
And the fundamental difference in why that, what I just described, is not an emotion, it is a state, it is your natural state, it's one of your natural states, is because it actually never stops. Anger does. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. Grief does. And I'm going to say something about grief. I separated that in my notes when Ellen was talking. But whatever state you're in, you're feeling, the worst thing you can do is to pretend you're not feeling it. In my opinion, even if you're in a situation where you cannot do it, you're at the king's coronation, or, you know, you're giving away the bride, or there are things that you cannot express in that moment, for a split second go, okay, I'm feeling this right now, I'm going to set it over here, and I'm going to deal with it when I'm done with the king's coronation or giving away the bride or whatever it is that I can't do this right now. Or I'm not willing to do it right now. I'm not willing to lose my temper as I give my daughter away. I don't want to do that, so I'm going to set it aside over here, and I will let it process then and be present for it then. And what I mean by be present for it is, because as Ellen has taught me this, actually, it will tell you. It will tell you. Because I have been told, be sure to love. When I turned 50, it was a big trauma. I had a big trauma. Not like 60 was exactly the opposite. I had a big trauma. And I felt like a failure, and I had this period of time where I felt like a failure and all this other stuff. And the worst thing that people could say, what are you talking about? Look at all the things you've done. It was like the worst thing that you could say. It was actually a form of saying, please shut up. It was actually well-intended people. Essentially, what I was hearing was, don't be silly. And what they were actually doing, and in my observation, is A, being nice, and B, not confronting their own mortality. And I was depressed for other reasons. It wasn't like I was a spiritual giant. But I was upset. But the worst thing that you can say, don't dismiss people. And I think that's what Ellen is really getting at. Don't forget to love yourself. It's like, well, that's not even on the agenda right now. Like, I can't get out of bed. Let's start there. I've not forgot to love myself. It's like I didn't start. I mean, it's like it's not something I don't know the phone number, and it's because it's never been a place I've called. But having said all that, I just want to say, practice being present for whatever you are experiencing. That doesn't mean, and what will happen is, you will actually take control of one more lever. Over time, you and the God of your understanding. One more lever over time. It's like, okay. In Buddhism, it's just called mindfulness. Be aware of it. Do not stop it from happening. If you are sad, be sad. But remind yourself that it will have a beginning and a middle and an end. And if you're sad for 400 years, if you're like Queen Victoria, who lost her husband when she was like 38 and wore black for the rest of her life, like there's something wrong with it. That was pathological. She was avoiding something. If that's what you're doing, there's something off, and you know that. I want to say this quickly about grief because I think it's important. And by the way, all of this is an act of loving yourself. So you don't really – it's like don't forget to breathe. It's like you don't need to remind yourself. If you're listening to this, you are in some sort of loving practice. I don't care what you think about Ellen and I. Like if you are listening to this, you have some impulse – toward loving, being kind to yourself. An easier thing, better thing to say to people is to be the total honest truth is, I don't have time to sit with you right now, but I want you to know I'm thinking of you, and please be kind to yourself. That is actually an honest answer sometimes. A, and B, I think if you reach 50, and we can unpack this at another time, and after 50, everyone is in some sort of grief over something all the time, and there's nothing wrong with that. You breathe it in like air, meaning I lost my youth. I wish that had turned out differently. It doesn't mean that you surrender to grief, but it becomes a texture and something in our lives, and it doesn't mean you don't go on. It doesn't mean you get stuck. It means like, oh, yeah. I wish I had paid closer attention to that's actually okay. It actually avoids the poison of nostalgia. You stop fantasizing. Just be aware of it. Life is forward motion, and there are things in the background that are lost, but we can always create forward. There's the end of me. I hope I made sense. Be kind to yourself.
Brilliant. Yes, exactly. Be kind to yourself. Own your stuff. Know you are loved eternally by spirit. And, yeah, Be good to yourself and be who you are and let your lives rip, tater chips.